Welcome to the Valley College Connection, where John Kawai and Scott Wigand, two Valley professors, engage in a conversation about success with educators and students. Each week, they'll sit down with a different guest to find out ways each of us have had to plan, persevere, and overcome to where we are now. The show will also highlight resources and services that are working to make a difference at Valley College.
This afternoon, we are joined by Preetha Puthakunal, Chair of Health Sciences and Director of the Nursing Program at Los Angeles Valley College. Thank you so much for joining us, Preetha.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, John.
Preetha, we wanted to start off with some background information. If you could take us down the road of how you came to work at Valley College and take it as far back as you'd like to. Share what your educational journey was like in school, how you decided to get into the field of health science and nursing. Anything that you care to share, we'd love to hear.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott. So my life is completely different than probably like many of the students who have here. I'm an immigrant from India. So all my education was in India. So my education up to 10th grade was in my language. And the problem over there is, or it's a good thing over there is, once you start your 5th grade, you have to learn 3 languages. Your native language, English, and Hindi is the national language. So we are learning English from 5th grade onwards. But up to 10th grade, my main medium of instruction was my language, which is called Malayalam. After 10th grade, 11th grade onwards, everything switched to English. So nothing is no more your language, anything, everything is English. So after 12th grade, that's the biggest. And when I was in 11th and 12th, it was part of a college, like our Valley College. And that's the time you decide what direction you want to go. So I want to be in a medical profession. And in my country, we have to apply. We have an entrance test for all the healthcare tests in one test. So it goes with medicine, nursing, pharmacy, and some other courses. So I got nursing. So I started my nursing program, BSN program, after the 12th grade in the capital city of India, in Delhi. So that's...
Oh, go ahead, John.
So let me ask this question. So how were you prepared? Did they in high school teach you about the basics of pharmacy and all these
topics? So in our high school, everyone needs to have... This is what our language and subjects look like. It's a common curriculum for everybody. Our native language, English, Hindi, that's there. Then history. In that history, it's the world history, political science, you know, whatever way it, the different, you know, they have in detail. Then geography, then physics, chemistry, and biology. And mathematics. So everyone will do this. But when you go to 11th grade and 12th grade, if you like to go in medical profession, you don't need to take math, but you must have biology, physics and chemistry, English and another language. But if you want to go in both direction, if you want to go in engineering direction, and the health side, you know, the medical directions, then you can also take math. And then after that, you can decide. Everything has entrance exam. Engineering has a different set of exams and medical professions have a different set of exams. So in high school, they prepare you. And then plus 11th and 12th grade, they prepare you. Most kids, when they are in 11th and 12th grade, they will also go for what do you call, like, I wouldn't say tutoring, but coaching.
Okay.
They will go coaching for this entrance exam, so they are ready by that time they graduate from 12th grade.
So what does your day look like? You go to school from a certain time and then you go to coaching, or?
Yes. So usually 10 to 4 p.m. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. is your regular school. And then You may have tutoring, you may have coaching, and sometimes our coaching is in Saturday. I remember my coaching was Saturday, 7 a.m. So, and Sunday you go to church or where whatever religion you follow. So pretty much we didn't have much free time, but you are always, your student, your friends are also with you. Most of your friends are with you in this journey. So that's your entertainment, like doing academic work with your friends. So, and many of us are going far, like, you know, it's not, you know, you have to take buses. So I started from my house like around 8 a.m. I reach my school or college like 9:30 a.m. So that was up to my 12th grade education. Now, my nursing is completely different story.
So at this time, then, there's no dating, there's no hanging out with friends?
Hanging out friends is allowed. Dating was, we didn't even know dating at that age. Now things are different. You know, like in this time of day, people have different, you know, way of lifestyle. But in my time, when I'm talking about 90s, early 90s and late 80s, we were not allowed to do the dating or anything. Like, you know, our parents were, we will have the consequences.
Yeah. Question for you, a couple questions. How, number one, you said that it was in 10th grade that the transition went to fully English. So one question about what was that transition like? And then my second question, how was it that you came to the determination that you wanted to follow through and actually study within the health sciences? Is there any background of that in your family, or did you just have an interest by way of the subjects you were studying?
So the first question, the transition was hard, even though, you know, we know the language from fifth grade, we had everything, but transition, like learn all of a sudden learning biology in English and physics and chemistry in English was really hard. So, you know, again, as I told you before, I had tutor service for physics and chemistry. Biology, you know, you work hard. You work with your friends. That's where your friends come in handy. We work as a group. We study as a group. And the teachers also, like, you know, when they teach you, they explain everything. We will have detailed notes, and then we share the notes from the students, you know, from classmates. And then we go for extra tuition. That's how we transition.
And so how did you come to pick that high school? How did you come to pick that high school? Are the high schools also, do you have to take an exam or to get into particular high school?
High school from my elementary school was up to seventh grade. Our high school starts from eighth grade. So you could go in my country, you could go anywhere. It's not a region bound. So I'm the youngest of eight. So my sisters and brothers already went through the education. So they knew which high school is the best. And based on my level, so they asked me, you know, they helped me to go a particular school which had a pretty high standard. And the reason why I got, you know, I had good grades in seventh grade. So they will look at the grades and they will see whether they will admit them over there.
Yeah, it's amazing how the setup sounds much like Korea and Japan.
Yes.
And it's one of those things where if you don't get it from when you're a kid, you're in the wrong high school, and then how do you get into the right college? And a lot of these obstacles, or you have to get in the door early.
Yeah.
Just because of, it's a whole sort of process, right?
Yeah, but I will also say, even if you get into any school, if you are determined, you have right direction. That's the most important thing. If you have right direction, you could get anywhere. But if you have no one to guide you, then you probably will be lost. But that is very uncommon, like lack of guidance. And most of the parents, even the parents who are not educated, they are very well aware of the educational path of their children. So Yeah, and we also have community, like religious community, like so people will help each other. And so the parents know and the kids already know what they want. And it's very rare that they don't have any help.
So what was your experience like when you started college?
So my 11th and 12th grade, you know, I had my friends from my own previous schools were there. And, you know, the English, the language switch was the hardest problem. But, you know, you are I was only 16 years old. You know, you get friends immediately. You start talking to people and then you don't know any other life. That's all you have, you know. So you have to get into the mode of learning things faster. So you study harder than you used to study before. And get help from anyone if you don't know. And, you know, as I told you, I have my siblings older than me, so they helped and you work hard. And after your first test, you will know whether you are in right track or you need more extra help. And then you take it there. So, and then after 12th grade, that's when you are going in different professional courses.
Sure.
And for those different professional courses, is that end up happening at a different school?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's completely different because I believe previously my 11th grade and 12th grade is like our Valley College system. You know, you have different courses up to 12th grade. And then, so for example, for medical profession back in there, what we needed, you need to pass the entrance exam. Like, back in the day when I was entering for that entrance exam, 500,000 kids will apply for it. And, you know, they do that entrance exam. There is only 600 seats available for medicine. So then, yeah, it's a very highly competitive. But now there are more cases, more seats available. It's much, you know, my nephews and nieces are doctors. Their opportunities are much wider than what I had. So what I did concurrently, you could also practice for even for BSN, we have entrance exam. So what I did in our capital, Delhi, we have a college called Rajkumari Amatkar College of Nursing. That is a central government college, like our similar to our federal government. If they run a college. And that college was like that. And it's only for nursing. Nursing like from BSN, master's and doctorate. So I went there for their entrance exam. Luckily, there was only 1,000 people there when I went for the entrance. And the seating was 45, the first 45. So I got in there. And over in India, you always have seats for reserved seats, like, you know, reserved seats for minority, reserved seats for foreigners, because it was a central government college. They also had some reservation for international students. So pretty much in general seat, 35 students will get out of 45. So luckily I got in.
So what was it like to walk in and look up your name? I mean, what's that experience like?
Oh my God. I think my heart dropped when I see my name was number 31. So I didn't know whether I cried, I laughed, I don't know what I did, but I was like, oh my God. I didn't, you know, people usually wait another year. I didn't have to do that. You know, I, you know, just went in there, got it. That was unbelievable. And again, I'm from South, and South and North India is completely two different, like a country almost at that time. So I'm coming from South, going to North, even though I know the language of Hindi, I don't know how to speak. And I have to pick up all that. But I was so excited because that college was one of the best college in the country. So that's why I was so happy.
Yeah, I remember my mother had the same experience where she went to go and look at her exam scores, and she passed, right? She got in, and she and her girlfriends went to go and celebrate. Meanwhile, my grandmother, she's just waiting for her. She thought maybe she committed suicide. Because, you know, like, that's Japan. You know, like, these kids, they don't make it, and they jump off a bridge, right?
Yeah. It
happens. So then what happened once you got into the nursing program?
So when I went to the nursing program, is a completely different set of ball game now. So nothing similar to this country. So we have a big campus. In that campus, we have hostel system. That means it is mandatory. It's mandatory for everyone who is admitted in the program stay in that hostel. And that means at that time, I think it's only for unmarried women. I'm not sure now things change. So the BSN is for, I believe it was only for unmarried women. I may be wrong in that section, but so you stay in that hostel. Right across is your college. That means from our college, if I talk about my nursing office, and going to the AHS, the third floor, like, you know, that's the only distance. It's very close. And all our teachers have quarters over there, like flat. So they live also inside the campus. So it's a big campus. Everyone is there. So that's the first step. Now, in first semester, first year, it's a four-year system. It's a BSN program, first year, second year, third year, fourth year. So the first year when you live in the hostel, you have one roommate, but everything is free except, I believe the tuition at that time was 200 Indian rupees monthly. Everything else, even you don't even have to do the laundry. They will come and people will come and do your laundry, and food and accommodation, everything was free. Only the tuition, very, very negligible amount, 200 Indian money at that time.
So was it difficult? Like, was it just a different level than what you did in high school, or?
Completely different. Completely different. It is difficult. You know, you are learning about nursing, which, you know, I didn't have any clue about nursing. Honestly, I didn't have anyone in my family was a nurse. And, but luckily, again, there were many students from the South were there. So you have help from your own friends. And the classes, the time is completely different again. From 8 a.m. to 5 o'clock, we have class. So the first semesters, 8 a.m. to 5 o'clock, once a week, you will go to clinicals. Okay. And the second year, third year, fourth year is every single day, you go to clinic hospital from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. You come back, go to hostel, eat lunch, change your clothes, and then come back to the classroom at 2:30 to 5 o'clock every day. And Saturday is half day. That's it. But Saturday afternoon and Sunday is the only off day. And we also have, since everyone is in the hostel, we also have a lot of group work other than our individual work, like projects. We have a lot of group projects also we had to do.
Wow, it sounds like a really rigorous schedule.
It was a very rigorous program, very rigorous.
As you were working through the program, Preetha, did you have any sense that you would be moving to the United States?
I had no clue. My goal was to be a professor in nursing in my state, back in my my state name is Kerala. I want to do that. So what I did after 4 years, you know, you have to have 2 years of experience before you can go to master's. It's mandatory that you need to have 2 years of experience, like clinical experience. So I went to one of the top hospitals in Delhi. It's called Escorts Heart Institute and Research Center, and it's modeled after American hospitals. So we are used to like American way of like all the equipments and stuff. So I had 2 years of my clinical experience. Then I went back for us to teach over there, like as a professor. Of course, we need the master's. So I went back to my college for Master of Nursing Education. Now, the seating, it's only all together 15 seats you will get a year. in that general seats are only six of them. So again, I got in, and it's a two-year course. And again, this is like Monday through Saturday program, full time. You won't be able to work. And I completed 2 years of my master's, came back home with the plan of working in my state. By that time, I realized that any government medical colleges like UCLA, it's so hard to get a job. So I started working private jobs. And of course, my husband came over there to meet, you know, and my, you know, that's another big arranged marriage. So within a month, I got married. And then that's when, you know, that was the decision. Otherwise, I had no clue that I'm going to be here.
So how did the arranged marriage work?
So I think you will laugh how we did it in my time. It's different now. So again, we have different matrimonial websites. Back in the day, there was no website. We heavily depend upon the newspapers. So one of our, like, you know, my father passed away. Usually in India, at that time, your parents look for it. Or if your parents passed away, your older siblings will start looking for, you know, your good match. So my brother advertised in the newspaper for me. And my husband's family was visiting India. And my husband grew up here, and he was here since 2 years old. So his parents were the immigrants in 70s. So they came, they had the intention that they want someone from India. And he, what I heard is, somehow he agreed, okay, I will try and see whether I will like someone. The minute he said yes, his parents book a ticket to India, and they all.
Because I have Indian friends also, and they tell me that their parents are on them. They want to take the trip with them.
Yeah. So they came. So and that's the time my brother advertised in the newspaper. And my husband's father called my brother. And my brother said, you know, we are not looking for someone who grew up there because the culture is so different. We don't want that. But his father was so persistent. He said, can we at least come to your house? You know, we are going somewhere and it's on the way. Let us come, you know. And they came, and I was like, there's no way this guy is going to like me. There's no way I'm going to like this guy. So when he came, I started talking. We were talking, and we talked like 45 minutes, which I never did to any other guys who came to my house. So, and then we found out that their family is like one of our close relatives, family member. They are the family members. So we knew through them. So then the next day, everyone from that family came, and they said, you know what, these people, we know them. Both families said, we know each other. It is okay. They are going to be fine. And within few days, they fixed the marriage. In 2 weeks, I got married.
Wow.
And it's been 21 years, Scott.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's such an incredible story, Preetha. And so 2 weeks later you were married, and then how long before you moved to the United States?
So after I got married, you know, the paperwork took 1 year, and to add more misery into that, the day I was in Chennai to get my visa, that's the day 9/11 happened.
Oh, wow.
So the embassy's closed. And they said they are going to indefinitely close for a while. So I was like so devastated. But luckily, one day I decided, I stayed in that, you know, city, because, you know, I'm in another state and I had to flew back. So I thought, you know what, I'll stay a couple more days. And one day I just decided, like, you know, our family and me, we just decided to go see in the embassy and see whether it's open. It was open. And they didn't announce it. They didn't publish it, but it was open. and they were only looking at the visas for the spouse visa. They were not going, they returned everybody any other kind of visa except the spouse visa, and they gave me the visa that day. And September 18th, I flew from my country to here. You have no idea, flying after 9/11 from another country to this country. Oh my God. Anywhere we had a stop, we had to check out our all the bags, open up bags in front of all every people, and take out one by one pieces of your clothing, everything, take out, show everyone, put it back, and then get back into the plane. That's how I came. And when I came, again, I had no clue that the family is not allowed in the airport. They were in a parking lot C. My father-in-law and my husband had some friends who were in that flight. So they told me, because I didn't even have a phone to call my husband or anyone. I didn't have anything. I just came with them. So they called, they found out that, you know, my husband and the family is in parking lot C. And somehow we took the shuttle and went to the parking lot C. There, my husband was there with a bouquet of flowers. That's how I met him after I came.
Wow, what an incredible journey. Oh my goodness. And the timing of that to have happened right after 9/11, as you said, that just added a whole other layer of
yep.
complications.
Yep.
So when you came to America, how was that transition?
So again, we have a big Indian community. So, you know, for social part of it, I didn't have a problem. But again, now I have to start working. So the process of the Board of Registered Nursing, like, you know, you have to bring all your transcript first here, and then the transcript have to be evaluated by the international education, you know, the international transcript evaluation. Then all that process, it took for a while. And my husband took me to a Kaplan place, which till today I have no idea where exactly the place is, somewhere in Balboa. But they taught me how to take the bus to over there. So every day I take the bus and I'll go over to the Kaplan Center. I will, you know, learn from there, and I will only, and my mother-in-law used to give me cold sandwiches because I didn't know how to use the microwave over there, and I was too embarrassed to ask people. So she would give me cold sandwiches and I'll eat from there and come back. And my husband told me we had to do fingerprinting or live scan. I don't remember what we did in this is in 2001. But he said we came to Wiley College to do that. And that's the first my foot in the Wiley College, I guess. And then in early part of 2002, I did my BRN and I passed the first time with the minimum questions. And so now I have an RN license.
So did your Indian nursing license transfer to the U.S. or?
Oh,
is
yeah,
that what the airline license is?
Completely transferred. I didn't have to. We do much more than I told you the story. Like we had to, it's a 4-year program and every day in clinicals and everything. So we do much more than what we do here, because I know the nursing program, what we are doing here. We do much more than that. So everything was 100% compatible or compliant or compatible with the Board of Registered Nursing.
So once you are eligible, where did you work?
Okay, so I got my license. Luckily, at that time, there was a huge nursing shortage. So my husband and his family lived in North Hollywood. So the closest hospital was Wiley Presbyterian Hospital. So I went with my sister-in-law. She took me to their HR. So, and then they asked me, which area you want to work. So I always have a passion towards pediatric nursing because I took my master's. I specialized in the pediatric nursing and I work with children a lot. So I said pediatric. And next thing I know, she's calling someone. And what she did is she called the manager of pediatric nursing. And he said he's ready to interview me right there. I had, you know, I didn't prepare anything. And he asked me a few questions. And then he, you know, he said, where do you want to work? I said, I'd like to work in pediatric. He said, do you want to work in pediatric ICU? I said, like, do you think I can work? He said, yeah, you can work anywhere. I said, okay. So that's how they hired me for pediatric ICU in Valley Presbyterian Hospital.
Wow. What was the experience like when you started there? Was the ICU training different from what you had had in your education, or was it something you were prepared for, that aspect of it?
So remember I told you after my BSN, I worked 2 years in a heart institute. That yeah. hospital was completely modeled like American way. And I worked in their ICU, like, you know, so I have experience for adult patients. So all the equipments they used, I was used to it. Here, like a servo 300 ventilator, I'm used to it. I knew. Over there is no respiratory therapist. So the nurses and anesthesiologists do that job. So I knew the jobs. But the approach to the patient is completely different from India to here. You know, here we are more like a psychosocial aspect. Over there is like more black and white. You know, so that aspect was different. And again, I had real good mentors in Valley Press. And but I have to say, the second day of my Valley Press ICU, I got a baby with a ventilator. It's a home ventilator. I had no clue about it. And the pediatric ICU, the intensivist, respiratory therapist, and the nurse, three of them handheld me that day. If they were not holding me like that, if I would have left that day because it was really hard for me. But they were with me that 12-hour shift. Then, you know, I talked to the manager. Then I, you know, my real mentor came the next day. So I did the night shift. You know, I have to say that Valley Presbyterian Hospital taught me everything about America. And, you know, they taught me all good, how to treat people, like how people will be. That the I would say that's the one of the most, I always say that's my mother's house, you know, Valley Presbyterian. Till today, I'm very, you know, that place is very close to my heart. And I worked there until 2008. And
while you're working in this capacity at Valley Presbyterian, Preetha, did you still have any of your previous sort of desire to work as a professor, or at this point were you focused on working in the hospital?
So see, this is the beauty of nursing. In nursing, if you are a registered nurse, whatever your passion is other than nursing, the nursing will allow you to do that. I had no, you know, the first 1 year I told you, I didn't know anything about the system. So it was really hard for me. But one good thing they did, knowingly or unknowingly, you know, they gave me the hardest patient every day. Sure. The most, if you have two ventilators, I get that two ventilator patients that day. I know for sure. But within 1 year, I learned the system inside out. I learned how to take care of pediatric ICU patients. I learned how to take care. We float to pediatric, so I learned that. Then we also float to neonatal ICU, so I learned that. And gradually, that's when I met the Los Angeles Valley College team. They, the clinical instructor, bring the students for pediatric nursing experience, and she started giving me students. And they work with me and I teach them. Soon, my manager started giving me new employees to orient. And then I started getting the BSN students for leadership. They come. So I always have either one or minimum one student or two students with me while I was in Valley College. And that's how, and they always say that you teach really good, so you will be good as a teacher. So everyone identified that nature in me. But I didn't want to go anywhere because I didn't know anything other than Valley Press at that time. But the teachers always, one of the clinical instructor, you probably know, Kathy Snyder, she always tell me, Preetha, you should apply there. You can work as a clinical instructor. And once Valley College had a COPE program with Valley Press, and they wanted additional clinical instructors. And my manager came and gave me the flyer, why don't you apply for this? And it will be good for you. So I applied, and that's how I got my first clinical instructor job in Valley Press, Valley College.
And what year was that, Preetha?
What year? 2009, February.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so at this time, you're teaching part-time and still at Valley Press?
From Valley Press, I also moved to Kaiser at that time because Valley Press, it is really nice, but, I needed more. And for better insurance purpose and better pay purpose. And also, I kind of learned everything I could from Valley Press. So I moved to Sunset Kaiser Pediatrics. So while I was working in when I got the job in 2009, I was actually in Valley Press per diem, Kaiser Sunset Pediatric Unit full time, which is like a 32-bed big unit. And I was doing the part-time clinical instructor here.
Wow, that's a lot.
It was a lot. It was a lot. I have no idea how I did all that, but I did.
And then at what point did you become full-time?
So since 2009, I started working Valley College. 2012, Kathy Snyder retired. I have to say, these people, they tricked me into it. I would say full-time faculty like Wendy and Trick, one day they called me and I was working in Kaiser. They said, Preetha, we have to tell you something. I said, what? You need to apply to this full-time position. Okay, I said, but. They told me the most amazing stories about Valley College, but they never told me what is it going to be as a full-time person. I fell into it. I fell in that trap. I applied and I got the job in fall 2012. That's when I became the full-time pediatric instructor.
And how has your experience been at Valley College?
I love it, love it, love it. Even though it's so, you guys know, we know, like there was so much work other than teaching. I didn't know the behind scene work, I didn't know, but even everything I learned, I really love teaching. I feel like, I can work maybe 24/7 without, like my body will be tired, but my mind will be okay. So Valley College, I would say, since I worked in many institutions by that time, and Valley College also have a family approach, like Valley Press. That's what I can say. The supporting is, like, the support system is amazing in Valley College.
So what do you find is the most important thing in the nursing candidates that you bring into your program?
So when someone come, what I'm looking for is, are they... So the most important, their attitude. Are they passionate about nursing? Are they a service-oriented person? Are you academically strong enough to withstand the rigor of this program? So these are some of the stuff. And most importantly, I would look at your attitude, your willingness to learn, willingness to change. Can you empathize with someone? Because you're going to take care of someone when they are very vulnerable, and you have to be strong. So that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I think for me, my wife is a nurse, and my sister-in-law is a nurse, and I have a lot of nursing friends. Yeah. And I find that the thing that's so amazing about the job is that it challenges you spiritually, it challenges you intellectually, and it also challenges you physically.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the part that people don't realize, right? That it's a workout.
Yeah. And, you know, when my part of my experience in Kaiser, I had also adult patients. So the physical challenge comes in, you know, that's where it is. Like, you know, you have, you have maybe one nurse and a CNA. Sometimes you don't have anyone and you need to turn the patient. There is no one. You have to do it. And the ergonometry come in handy, and like, you know, you have to put someone else first before you. You know, they may be you need to do that. And with you have four patients like very they are in acutely ill, and their needs are so different, but all important for them. So a nurse need to prioritize, critically think, and if she has four patients, she has to realize which patient, or he has to realize which patient I'm going to address, which problem I'm going to address first. And every day it changes. Every minute, you know, every hour, patient status change. And you have to be adaptable. And, you know, you cannot say that, you know what, I'm tired, I need to break. No.
Yeah. I think the other thing when I talk to nurses, the one thing they hate the most is a RN who refuses to change a dirty diaper.
Oh, no. Right? RN, right? You know.
Isn't that rule one of just who the nurses that other nurses hate is the RN that won't get their hands dirty?
Yeah, no, there is, you know, when I was working in Kaiser, so in pediatrics, there is like, you do everything because, you know, peds and children and pediatric ICU, there's not even a CNA or anyone. When I went to adult nursing, there is, even though there are CNAs, you cannot look for or wait for someone when someone needs help, like in that direction. You know, every day I went to work, I had to clean diaper. I had to clean patient. That's a routine. That's a routine for a nurse. And if you don't want to do it, please do not enter in this career. You have to, and think about it, when you are sick or when you are, do you want to be in a bed without bathing, or do you want to be in the midst of urine? You don't want to be, right? And the same thing is person who is in front of you. You have to think about you in that situation and clean them.
Yeah, I had a friend, very close friend, and she had one more year of nursing to finish to get her BSN, and then she just realized that she didn't want to clean an adult diaper for the rest of her life, and she changed majors, you know? And it was a good decision.
Yeah, it's a good decision. I appreciate her honesty. I salute people who make decision and leave.
Yeah.
Preetha, within your kind of path here, you became full-time in 2012. When did you become the department chair for health science?
So I became assistant chair in 2016, and knowing nothing again, I have to say that our previous assistant chairs were assistant chair for their life. So I thought that's how I'm going to be. Then 2017, LACCD gave that golden handshake, our director retired. So there was only limited people who are eligible to be the director because of the BRN mandate, we have different eligibility. So I applied. I had no choice, but I applied for the vote. You know, I gave the candidacy application. And in 2017 fall, they voted me in for chair position and the director position.
And how have you liked, you know, working in that capacity? I would imagine that there's so much administrative work, especially for a nursing program. Was it something that you already had experience with as assistant, or was this on a completely different level? And how did you feel about it?
No, I was not at all equipped with that kind of knowledge at all. even assistant director. See, when I was an assistant director, we were working for our national accreditation for ASEAN. So one good thing, I was able to work on curriculum a lot. So I had a good grasp of our curriculum. And everything else, what I saw and heard from Mary, and once you sit in the chair, you start getting emails. And so you have to do one after the other. So the next thing I know, I have to do the assignment. So I learned that through the AFT was AFT contract. You know, that book was my friend. And again, I have to say, Lori, the dean, helped me a lot. And all the academic affairs team. Even I have to give kudos to David Quinteros. He was patient enough to sit with me. So, you know, I knew I was able to do my math for the units and the seniority and all those things. But, you know, they were all patient. Nona, she helped me a lot. And many people, you know, down the line helped me. And then we have district discipline. And, you know, so the other directors in our discipline, you know, helped me. Then again, we have COADN, California Directors of Nursing, like the entire. So we, when we go for conferences, we met other directors. So I learned from them. So the first year, even now, it's every day, it's something new. So, but it was completely a new learning for me.
Well, the thing I like about nursing is sort of what your career has sort of shown is that you can work on a nursing floor, you can work at a doctor's office, you can work in management, you can you can teach. What are some of the other areas that you think are sort of exciting potentials for nursing?
So I always tell them that you tell me any kind of a career or like a job, we have that in nursing. Like if someone, if a nurse who loves computer science, she can go as a nurse informatics, or she can work in the hospital as a registered nurse and be in a committee where they maintain or manage the electronic medical record. So all that work, like, a, you know, the technology savvy person can do that. So she can go later in the nurse informatics position. And if you are a business oriented person, you can get home health agencies. And so, you know, if you, you can run the business through that. So now if you are a Monday through Thursday, Friday person, and you want to work around your kid's schedule, outpatient clinics is an option. And another option is a school health nurse. So you can do that. And inpatient, again, you have med-surg. And then you can advance your, you know, med search to a telemetry, then ICU. Then if you don't like adult patients, then you can go to pediatrics. You can go to obstetrics and labor and delivery, neonatal ICU, and even geriatrics. And then there are skilled nursing facilities you can go. There is rehab places where you can work. And so any kind of job you like. And case management, palliative care nurses. So the nursing opportunities are endless. And if there is a person who say that I want to be outdoor, there is like helicopter nurses, like, you know, the emergency ambulance team. Yeah. There are, you know, transport nurses. So you name it, you can find something what you like in nursing. So that's a one, the most advantage, like if you become a nurse. And many of my friends are now nurse practitioners after the nursing degree. And many of our graduates are also nurse practitioners.
And then what does that allow them to do? And how is that different from a physician's assistant?
The physician assistant, I believe they don't need a doctor's license to sign. Nurse practitioner is still working under a doctor's license.
I see.
That's, yeah, they still have to. They are not, I don't think they are independent yet. So that's,
Pita, I just wanted to get your sense of, with so much experience and diversity in terms of programs that you've seen and places where you've worked, what would you say makes the nursing program at Valley College stand out for any students or anybody who perhaps is interested in health science and interested in nursing, what's unique about Valley College's program?
So Valley College program is, first of all, it's a Board of Registered Nursing approved. Second, we are nationally accredited by ASN, you know, Accreditation Commission for Nursing Education, which if you look at California, not that many colleges have. They are trying now to almost everyone to get that. So we have those two. That means our standards need to be higher always. So our attrition is only like in teens, like 16%. And retention, of course, is high. Our pass rate before COVID was 94-95% for the first time takers. So, and also the clinical experience, we try to give the best clinical experience. You know, we go to Kaiser and we go to Providence System, Sherman Oaks, Valley Press, where else we go? Like we go to almost all the neighboring big hospitals and clinics. So our varieties of learning experience we are giving, it make them easier for them to transition when they graduate and to be a entry level nurse.
Yeah, and let me say this too, because I actually talk with every nursing candidate, nursing student, because I'm the one who teaches them their dosage calculations.
Yeah.
They will say that their teachers are great.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that there is no goofing around. They feel like when they're there, they're going to be good.
Yeah.
Right. There's just a certain professionalism that is demanded of all the nursing faculty that is just outstanding.
Yeah.
So one, those kids, they run hard, but they believe in what they're being taught.
Yes.
And then I think if you just look at the data. So for me, whenever a student comes up to me and says, I'm going to go to this private college, it costs me $40,000 a year. And I say, okay, wait, I'm not saying no. And you say, let's look up what percent of the people graduate. So when you get in, after you pay your $80,000, you get a degree. And let's look at what percent of the people actually pass the nursing board. It's not going to nursing school that allows you to be a nurse, but it's passing and then passing the board.
Yeah.
And if you look at Valley College's numbers, we're one of the top.
Yeah.
You just can't compare.
Yeah. And again, I forgot to say another thing which stand out, we do a lot of resources and tutoring services, which when I talk to my colleagues and they say, why you guys do that? You know, we have that reading comprehension, dosage calculation, pharmacology tutoring. I told my students, if you need anything, you come and let me know. I will make it happen. I will make it happen. That I would tell them that's a guaranteed tutoring service I can give you. You don't have to worry about how you will get the resources, but you have to identify. Sometimes as a faculty, we can identify your weaknesses, but sometimes you have to come and tell me. Sometimes students won't say that they don't have a place to study. I said, like, if until and unless you tell me, I cannot help you. You know, so we try to do all kinds of like assistance from any capacity, you know, when they come to our house. And we also do an open house before each incoming classes come with their family. And we let them know, the family, like, you know, their students, their family members who are in the program, they are now LAVC nursing family. So they will see us more than they see you. So for 2 years. So please be ready for that. So we give that kind of upfront, we let them know it's not easy.
It's always interesting because I get the students right after that meeting, right? Because school hasn't even started. And you say, go and learn dosage calculations for medication. We haven't started even school. Just so you know, it's going to be so hard. There is this workshop and you better appear. You know what? They all come.
They do.
They all come, and then school hasn't even started. They haven't even been enrolled in their program yet. And they're already meeting me in the summer or in the winter on the vacation. And we set up four days on the weekends, and they just all come. And they have buy-in too. They're excited to be there. Yeah. So.
And, you know, I talked to my recent graduate last, like, you know, in June. And I asked them, what will you give one advice to your incoming students? They say that, you know, these were three boys, right? You know, and they said, Preeta, let them know that if they didn't study, if they didn't start like a week before the semester begin, they are already behind. So that's the thing you have to tell them. You know, it's a lot of study involved, a lot of reading, and they have to, it's not regurgitation of what they know. It's an application of what they know. So they need to know first. So it's a lot of work, but it's worth it. It's worth it.
Wow, that might be a good place to wrap up with advice from former students here. Preeta, I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your incredibly busy schedule and day to share with us your story and for giving us so many interesting details in the background of what your journey was like. It's an incredibly inspiring story. And I know from other students and from colleagues at Valley College how grateful everybody is to have you at the college and working in the capacity that you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Scott and John. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.